My husband and I raised two children after their parents, my brother and his wife, were killed in a car accident. He has no biological connection, and they biologically are my niece and nephew. My husband, despite not wanting children before the accident, stepped up and became a fantastic parent. He changed diapers. He spent hours teaching them everything from tying their shoes to how to tell time. He cooked meals for them, read to them, put them to bed, took them to work with him. He was patient with them, but made sure they followed the rules. As they grew older, he spent hours teaching them to build things, explaining maths and science to them. He did their laundry as much as I did. He didn't come home from work and flop on the sofa and turn on the TV. He talked to them. He read to them. He helped them plan projects. When they were older, about half the time he and they would prepare dinner together. After dinner, roughly half the time he would oversee their bathing and toothbrushing, then read to them again as they fell asleep. On weekends, he taught them to ride bikes. When they were old enough and he went on hikes with a picnic, he never referred to them as yours. Because they were my niece and nephew. But from the moment they came to live with us, they were our children. It was his idea when the kids were 6 and 8 that we adopt them. He was a dad and would have been no different if there was a biological connection. For him, what came first was the children. He said several times, "I'm an adult. These kids are just starting out in life. It is our job to love them and give them the best start we can." What was interesting is he never wanted children. One of my attractions for him was the fact that I could not have children. However, when life happened, he relinquished his dream for about 18 years and became a fantastic father. A fantastic father. Now, during the week, I was with my dear friend Ian, and he sent me a very interesting article from the Bass Sentinel. It's actually in your service sheet. It's been reprinted for you. It talks about a very good father, a bit like this man. Every earthly father is a sinner. I produced 5 sinners. Fathering, 5 sinners. And every earthly father is a sinner. And every earthly father should confess their sins to their children because they're sinners, and should remind them they need to be adopted into another family. Adoption is a legal process that permanently transfers all the legal rights and responsibilities of being a parent from the child's birth parents to the adoptive parents. It's a legal transaction, and it breaks the connection of parenthood between the biological parents and establishes a whole new relationship between the adoptive parent and the child. There are 2 types of adoption in Australia. Inter-country adoption, when a child is adopted from overseas and brought to live in Australia. Domestic adoption, when the child adopted was born or permanently living in Australia. Australia practices open adoptions for both inter-country and domestic adoptions. This means that an adopted child growing up knows that they've been adopted. If possible, it is also allows the adopted child to know about their birth family and cultural heritage, so they know where they've come from. And that's very good. But they know now they've been adopted and put under the authority of a new parent. Now, an adoption order is a legal document that transfers all parental rights, responsibilities from the birth parents to the adopted parents. Any legal rights that the child has in relation to their birth parents, such as inheritance, are removed. You might think, oh, that's a bit sad. But you inherit from your earthly parents sin. That's what you get. That's your inheritance. You inherit sin from your earthly parents. So if you get adopted into a family that has no sin, you are set free from that inheritance. This is what Jesus Christ came into the world to do. This is the message of Christianity. Have you been adopted? It's the gospel message. We can never get free from our sin until a legal adoption occurs, which removes any legal rights the child has, such as the inheritance. And Jesus comes into the world to make it possible for you and me to have a new father. A new father. A father who is perfect. The story I told the children this morning. This is Jesus' heart. He is trying to impart to his disciples the truth about his father. He's trying to tell them how wonderful his father is. And he lives his life reflecting his father's character. That's why he says, if anyone has seen me, he's seen the father. What does Jesus do for you? Have a look behind me. That's your father's heart for you. No wonder he told the story about the father that went running out when the repentant son turned back to home. He went running out to him and threw his arms around him. Namiko, is there a slide there showing that? Here he comes. He's running out to adopt this son. And what does he do next? He throws his arms around him. He wants him to know that he's in a family where the father takes care of everything. In fact, he says to the older son, who complains about the situation, but you've been with me all the time. Everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. You know, God tried to teach us a lesson. Over the last few years, he's been trying to teach us a lesson. Our Father in heaven has just made a statement about his love for us. You know, there we were struggling with our finances, and suddenly, from where? We don't know. It was completely unmarked. Bank check of $110,000. This is the father who throws his arms around his children and tells them he loves them. Don't you feel that? I hope you do. Because it's what God is saying. This is not some orchestrated human exercise. This is God at work. Everything he has, he says to the older son, is yours. Remember the very first thing the Apostle John talks about when he opens his gospel. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then he goes on to say how this Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. But before that he said,
but to all who received him, who believed in his name. He gave the right, the legal right, to become children of God, the legal right to be adopted into this family, to break the tie of the inherited sinfulness of human beings and be born again of God. This is the joy that John is experiencing in his life, and he's seeking to impart to his brothers and sisters. He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh nor the will of, but born of God. If you receive Jesus as your Savior, that is the legal transaction. The cross of Christ is the legal transaction that declares you adopted into God's family as his son or his daughter. I used to have to say that to that Sarah lady back there. Who are you, Sarah Cave, then? You are a princess. Is that what you believe yourself to be? A prince or a princess this morning? That's who you are. If you are a child of God, he's the king. If you're his son or his daughter, that's your identity from God. How extraordinary is that? How easily we don't believe it. And yet the legal transaction of adoption has taken place at the cross of Jesus Christ. And the ministry of Jesus centres all around revealing the character of his Father. When Jesus is with the disciples at the end of his life at the Lord's Supper, in that upper room with that teaching in John 13 to 17. And we read the portion of it. What does he say to these disciples? In a troubled world, just like Laurie shared about Jeremiah, this is a troubled world. And it's going to get worse, friends. Jesus said it was going to get worse. Many people's love will grow cold because of the lawlessness that will come upon the earth. It will be like the days of Noah, Jesus said. But what does he say to the disciples? Let not your hearts be troubled. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. What sort of a God? Your Father. Your Father who loves you. Your Father who sent his Son to die for you. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you? I go to prepare a place for you. Now, friends, most of these men suffered martyrdom in cruel, hostile persecution against the message they were bringing. And sadly, we are not ready for this until we have truly owned our adoption into a heavenly family, not an earthly one, not an earthly one that sets up earthly things which become often idols, family idols. We're not ready. We have to own our heavenly citizenship in order to embrace what Jesus is. In my Father's house, there are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. Where is Neville, Carlene? He's in the Father's house. We celebrated on Friday because God gave Neville a long life of witness to his love and his goodness. But now he is free from all the troubles of this world. In the Father's house. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. A place for you. I will come again and take you to be with me. And you know the way I'm going, he says to them. You know the way I'm going. And Thomas says to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. Do you know where Jesus is now? Nobody's nodding their heads. Lord, can we convince them? Do you know where Jesus is now? Do you believe that Jesus died on a cross, rose from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and is ruling the world we live in right now? He is ruling it. All that's going on, he told us was going to happen because he's on the throne. That's what we believe as Christians. And we believe our hope lies before us in my Father's house. How can we know the way? He says, Thomas says, Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one can be adopted into this family except through me. Because the legal transaction of the cross, Namiko, the legal transaction of the cross. Well, there we go. Your Father wants to clothe you with the best robe, the best sandals, and he wants you to give you the most amazing feast and celebration you could ever imagine. That's what your Father wants to give you. And that's what Neville is sharing in right now. But friends, I have to tell you this. We live in a country that has infected the church with the love of this world. A love of this world. And John, in his letter to his friend, says, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. Do not love them. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the... Don't love these things. They are not of the Father. And I guess we could take some time just to ponder where we're loving these things, because they are not of the Father. We have a heavenly Father. He wants us to live heavenly lives in this world. Citizens of his kingdom, sons and daughters of the heavenly Father. And people would look at us and say, oh, wow, you're different. I remember when I was a town planner, I gave up my work. All these people around me, what are you doing? You're giving up all this potential and all the money you could earn. Well, I'm so glad I did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Living for God in this world is so much more enriching and exciting and full of glory. Because he reveals himself to you when you set yourself apart for him. And John says, don't love the world. This is where, have you been adopted? You see, sometimes we've got one foot in the adoption camp and another foot in the in our, you know, family camp, old family camp. One of the great challenges of the Christian life is what Jesus says about. And he makes it very clear, doesn't he? You know, you can't be his disciple unless you, he says, hate your father, mother, sister, brother, because you have to put him first above everything else. He has to be number one. I am the way, he says, the truth, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you do not know me, Philip? If you want to be a good father, study the life of Jesus. Just follow Jesus. Do exactly what Jesus says, because he is the best father. He represents the Father. He says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So what sort of house did Jesus have? What sort of stallion did he ride on? A donkey, a mule. How many wardrobes did he have, Jesus? You see, he lived completely differently, radically differently, reflecting another kingdom, one in which he wants you and me adopted into and become a child of God. He said, "Call no man on earth father. Call no man on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven, and he is a perfect father. And if you come to him, you will be born again of his spirit. You will be transformed to be like his son Jesus. That's what he will make you to be. And he will work in you and through you to draw others to Jesus." Remember, Jesus also said, the Father has something to give you. He wants to give things to you. Yes, he gave us $110,000 to sustain us for a period of time. But we are trusting him to provide everything we need. And it's not just money. We need the Holy Spirit more than anything else right now. We need God to rend the heavens and come down. And the prophet Isaiah, I love this passage which we read this morning. This is a revelatory passage because in the Old Testament there are very few references to God as Father. But when Isaiah has presented Jesus there in Isaiah 53 and onwards, he is able to declare God is our Father. And what does he say to this Father? Look down from heaven and see. From your holy habitation, where are your zeal and your might? The stirring of your inner parts. Your compassion are held back from me. You see, you can't get passion by stirring it up yourself. It'll be obvious to others it's not from God. Passion has to come from the Father. Passion has to ignite your heart and set it on fire. For you are our Father, though Abraham does not know us. Notice that. Isaiah is saying Abraham does not know the fullness of this. That these ones would be children of God. And Israel does not acknowledge us. You, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer from of old is your name. Redeeming us, ransoming us from the futile ways of our forefathers, our earthly biological fathers who gave us sin. You have redeemed us. O Lord, why do you make us wander from your ways and harden our heart so that we fear you not? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes of your heritage. Your holy people held possession for a little while. Our adversaries have trampled down your sanctuary. That's happened in Australia, friends. Right here in this country. For a time, we saw, and Matthew Bolte shared with us, how when the Holy Spirit came at different moments in this nation, people turned to Jesus. But the adversaries have trampled down your sanctuary. We've become like those over whom you have never ruled, like those who are not called by your name. And then the prayer of Isaiah is this to his Father. He's just called him. You are our Father. He says, oh, rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries.
There are many adversaries of God. You can feel them in our country right now. People opposing God. But this is an act from heaven that declares God's name to the adversaries. That the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. Are you waiting for your Father? Are you expectantly waiting for your Father? Which means you're praying, you're asking, you're looking to him. Because Jesus said this, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more? And when God's Spirit truly comes down, there's fire. There's fire. And it ignites your heart. And it impassions you to serve Jesus. Because you are so in love with your Father, who has given you the very most precious gift he can give. The Spirit that Jesus surrendered on the cross when he said, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then at Pentecost, that Spirit came down upon the disciples and empowered them so that we here in Australia now know Jesus. And all over the world know the Father who is in heaven. Well, friends, I don't know where you stand with God, but have you been adopted? Have you said, like the returning son, oh, Father, I have sinned against you. Forgive me. Have you seen him run to you with his arms and throw his arms around you and bring you back to his house and lavish his love upon you? For that's why Jesus came into this world, that you and I might know his Father. This is Father's Day. Let us pray.